Man, we pray that for you today. Our topic today is to develop a generous love for the outsider. But let me say it again. If you get nothing else out of this service, may you get that. May you get that he is in love with you and that he's calling you deeper still. Some of you, this is your first time here. Some of you have been, I was talking to a couple last night, they've been here 23 years. May you hear God calling you deeper still. Deeper into what? Love, love, love. May you hear the gospel afresh today that he is in love with you. I preached a couple months ago at New Hope Lutheran Church, just down the street, and Erin Stoffel, who less than a year ago lost her husband and her 11-year-old daughter, Olivia, to the shooting, wanted to start traveling with us and help us out on the road. And she is standing next to me and my daughter, Joyelle. And we're about to have to go up and preach. And that's the song that they sang right before I was getting up to preach. And did you ever wrestle with God to wonder if he's good? Has your life ever done that to you? And I'm like, I am like this. And I am getting mad at the worship leader. Like, really? You picked that song? Because sitting next to me is Erin. And I'm like, how can you think he's good when this has happened? And I am mad and I'm ticked off at the worship leader. And I'm like, now I'm really mad because I'm not going to get my heart rate to go up and preach. And I'm like, ah. And I look next to me, and there's Erin with both hands up in the air, saying, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. Tears coming down her face, and she's going, I am loved. That's who I am. And I sat there, and I went, God, how? How can she say that? Whatever view of God that she still has through that, I need that. I want that. I want that view of God. Let me ask you this morning, what is your view of God? What is your view of who he is? Is he a good, good father? It's really who he is. I think it's what matters most. I have a little video here. Bob Witten, our worship leader down at Portico, one of our church plants in Oshkosh, put this on Facebook by Brennan Manning, awesome author. But it just really makes us think, what is our view of God? Just watch this with me.
In the 48 years since I was first ambushed by Jesus in a little chapel in the Allegheny Mountains of Western Pennsylvania, and in literally the thousands of hours of prayer, meditation, silence, and solitude over those years, I am now utterly convinced that on Judgment Day, the Lord Jesus is going to ask each of us one question. And only one question. Did you believe that I loved you? That I desired you? That I waited for you day after day? That I longed to hear the sound of your voice? The real believers there will answer, yes, Jesus. I believed in your love and I tried to shape my life as a response to it. But many of us who are so faithful in our ministry, in our practice, in our church going, are gonna have to reply, well, frankly, no, sir. I mean, I never really believed it. I mean, I heard a lot of wonderful sermons and teachings about it. In fact, I gave quite a few myself. But I always thought that was just a way of speaking, a kindly lie, some Christian's pious pat on the back to cheer me on. And there's the difference between the real believers and the nominal Christians that abound in our churches across the land. No one can measure like a believer the depth and the intensity of God's love, but at the same time, no one can measure like a believer the effectiveness of our gloom, pessimism, low self-esteem, self-hatred, and despair that block God's way to us. Do you see why it is so important to lay hold of this basic truth of our faith?
Amen. Amen. What is your view of God? What is our view of God, of what he's like? This church wants nothing more than every one of you to know that you are welcome here. Why? because he is in love with you. This in initiative of us being all in. What's one more thing I got to do? If you hear nothing else today, know this, that God is totally in. He's in love with you. He's in love with you. And Luther said, preach the gospel to yourself daily. Preach the gospel to yourself daily that you would hear this, that you're loved, not you didn't measure up or what about the past. Just hear that. And you are in. If you're a believer here today, you're in the body of Christ. Why are you in? How do you get in? You get in because you dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank. Is there anything you can do that causes you to be in? If there's anything we could do to get in on ourselves, that's works. That's human. That's law. No, nothing we can do except for the cross of Jesus Christ is what gets us in. That's why we're in. You are in because he is in love with you. That God is in love with me. I didn't do this per se, but can you say that? Can you say, God, you're in love with me? Let's say that together. God, our biggest prayer here is that you would believe that with all your heart, no matter what the past, no matter what you've been through, that you are loved. And know this, no matter how dirty or how bloody, no matter how many times you made mistakes, whether self-inflicted or others inflicted, no matter what you've been done to, no matter what your parents have said to you, that nothing can keep you from his love. Nothing can keep you from his love. So if you believe that, then you can listen to the rest of the message. If you don't believe that, let's just think about that today, okay? Let's go back to that day after day. If we really see the God who's a generous lover, then maybe we can love and be in Haiti, like Al said, because we're loved, that we can now develop this love for others. So here's our message today. Here's what I'm hoping to get, that everyone can develop a generous love for the outsider by practicing. To get that word, practicing, you're not going to do it perfect. You're going to mess up, and that's okay. By practicing three examples of Jesus. So if this is how Jesus loved us, let's look at his example of how to do this. So three examples. Number one, he included the outsider like an insider. So what are we supposed to do? If we're really going to practice this generous love, to include people that are outsiders like they're insiders. So say the word include. Thank you for those who don't like being told what to do and you still did that anyway. Say it one more time. Include. One more time together. Thank you. All right. The scripture I want to look at is this. Where do we see this in scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says this. God was reconciling the world to himself. So the world went away, right? Our sins have separated from God. We're now on the outside, right? Lost. He was bringing us back, reconciling means bring back to original form. So he's bringing us back. He's bringing us in. How did he do it? He was reconciling the world, that's you and I, to himself in Christ, his death and resurrection. How? Not counting people's sins against them. So, you know what? I know you. Guess what? You're a sinner. And your sinner has separated you from God. You know why you get to call yourself a believer today? Because God did not hold your sins against you. Amen? Anybody else, is you a Christian because of any other reason? He counted me like an insider, even when I was an outsider. He counted me as one of his own. Even when I was a sinner, he loved us. And then he did what to us? And he's committed to us. Who's that? Believers. The people who have had this demonstration of love, generous love given to us, he's given to us the message of reconciliation. So how did God reconcile the world to himself in Christ? By not holding their sins against them. How is the church supposed to win the world for Christ? To love the outsider, not holding their sins against them. Let me ask you, church, think of America alone. How are we doing? What does the non-Christians feel from us? So many times what we're against instead of what we're for. And we're holding them to the letter. This is what they are. They're the sinners. We really have to live this out. To say God is reconciling by not holding our sins against us. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't say for God so loved the world that he picketed it? He treated us like we were saints while we were yet sinners. How did he do this? Look in Luke 19. You want to read it later. But Luke 19, Jesus is walking, and Zacchaeus, the wee little man, he couldn't see him, so he went and climbed a tree. But what was he? It says here that he was a tax collector. He worked for the IRS, and he was wealthy, a wealthy politician. Right? Could you imagine? Zacchaeus wasn't very well liked. Could you imagine if he ran for president? We might vote for him this year. Sorry. All right. But he wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed up into the sycamore tree. But when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up. He's Zacchaeus. Listen to how he treated him. Listen to how he included him. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. What? He didn't even he treated him like he was best friends. Like, hey, Corey, we're getting together after church. You're buying. And I'm driving your motorcycle. That's what it was like. But look at how the people responded. Look what they said. But the people began to mutter. Who? The religious. They began to mutter and saying, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Dude's got a long beard. And he's bald. He's got tattoos. He's got earrings, and he's a boy. Sorry, dude. I did. He didn't sit there during the first service. But you know what? Listen to what Jesus said. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man, Zacchaeus, a government official who was corrupt, is also a son of Abraham. We're all equal. This guy who has tats, that's my kid. That's my kid. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Isn't that wild? Jesus has the same mission statement as Christ the Rock. He must have liked ours. I think he had it first, okay. But you know, all we want to be here is we want to be like Jesus. What's our mission here? To seek, love, and disciple. Seek the lost. How do you do that? By including them. Say include. Include the outsider like an insider. Let me break it down a little bit. Our daughter Danielle has two beautiful boys. Isaac, who's 5, and Josiah, who just turned 3 last week. Love those little guys. But she told us that she was going to take in a foster child. And this foster child was born a year ago at 4 pounds old. Very sick. Very struggling. Little beautiful biracial girl. And the mom being chased by her own lions, I'll just make it broad, was trying to do her best, and the lion got back to her. And the mom is now incarcerated and has been given 3 years. And so our daughter took in this foster child. But I've talked to people who've had foster kids, and you don't know if you're going to get to adopt them ever. And I'm almost ashamed to say this, but I recommend it to our daughter that they didn't, because it's going to be so hard and it's messy. And you're going to give your heart and open it up and include them in the family. What if you, after 3 years, have to give the little girl back? And she said, Dad, I feel like God has called me to love for whatever time we have. Generous love. So she took the little girl in. It's been a few months now. And when people ask me how many grandkids I have, some, to be honest, I don't know what to say. Because look at this picture. Here's my grandkids. There's six. What am I supposed to say? Five? But what happens even if I say six and then next year they see us and how many grandkids you have? Five? Somebody who does care for exchange students said, Bob, once you give them part of your heart, they're yours forever. They are yours forever. And no matter how hard it is, I want to treat this little girl as part of our family, to include her even if there's no adoption. Will you include? Let's just, even the area I was looking up last night, still 11 o'clock, foster care. We're not talking about Haiti. We're not talking about our mission in India or the orphans in the desert. We're just talking about Wisconsin. At any time in Wisconsin, there is 8,000 children in need of foster care. And most of them will not be adopted, but they need somebody because the lions in their house that are chasing them are so big. They need somebody to open their house and their heart, even if it's going to hurt, to bring them in. Can I tell you how many people are registered to be foster care parents in Wisconsin? Only 5,000. That means every day, 3,000 kids are in a place where it's not safe. And they're looking for somebody to love generously, to open up. Maybe that would be you. If you don't know you're loved, first just fall in the arms of Jesus. But if you know you're loved, hey, it'll mess up your family some. But you could love the way Jesus has loved you. Let's break it down even easier. Maybe some of you will never have a foster child or adopt. But all of us can include. How about that neighbor that nobody else includes? The only one that doesn't get invited. The reason you're busy is a lot of you have kids and they're bringing kids over all the time. You're already doing what God has called you. Include them in your family. Invite them for supper. Let your place be a haven where they're welcome. Include them. Students that are here. You're like, you're always preaching to the adults. No, we're preaching to you. Who does nobody sit by in the cafeteria? Will you include them? Maybe somebody who has Tourette's or Asperger's or something that makes them a little awkward. Can they feel welcomed in your sight? Will you welcome them? All of us can include if we've been loved and accepted. Now let's give that to somebody else. So the first thing we can do, the practice, just include, to have this generous love for outsiders, just include them. But what if they turn back? What about Judas? Didn't Jesus know that Judas was going to go back? Did he not open his heart to Judas? You know what? He loved Judas. And he knew Judas was going to go back. He knew Judas would betray him, but he still befriended him and treated him like an, say it again. He broke bread with him. He washed his feet. He loved him. And he knew. How many of us are afraid to love because what if we get hurt? Can I ask you, can I challenge you, can I call you to the unbelievable love of God that we have, that now we can reach out and love somebody else? So the first thing we can practice, Jesus' example, and to include others as insiders. The second thing that we can do, the second example of Jesus, invite them into your story. Invite them into your story. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 is where Peter was fishing. I like that guy. He was fishing, and Jesus calls him from fishing and says, hey, Peter, follow me. He invited him into his story. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, sometimes when we hear God's call, I don't know about you, did you ever not want to go? Like yesterday, I had to do a wedding. But I don't know about you, but I think we had our one day of summer now. It snowed last week. So but I had a wedding to do yesterday, but I'm like, it's beautiful, and I'm getting some gas. We live in a small town now of Tustin, and I'm at Poisipi getting some gas, and the Kiwanis Club were selling brats. And it was so beautiful, but I had this wedding, so I'm like, Carol, I called Carol, and I said, hey, I'm going to bring some brats and hot dogs home, get a couple sodas, I'll meet you, and we'll go on the pontoon, and we'll have lunch. And we went out, and we had a beautiful lunch. It was all awesome. And it lasted about 15 minutes. And then we had to go to the wedding. I got to perform the wedding. I didn't want to go. A lot. To make it worse, I'm at the wedding. And there's this friend. His name is Phil Hammond. He's like, hey, you been fishing? I'm like, well, yes, today's would be a good day. And I said to him, so I haven't seen him. I mean, we went to high school together. And he's a Hammond, and we always competed who's the best fisherman. And we're talking, and I go, man, it was so beautiful. I was on lunch having for pontoon. I don't really want to be here. And there's the mom of the bride and the groom. And they went to school. I'm like, well, now I kind of do. But you know what? Even inviting them into my story, that's part of it. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 21. This is a rich young man who was searching. Bill did such an amazing job teaching on this just weeks ago. The rich young man, he was hungry. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, we say that America is so against God. That may be true. But I believe America is more hungry than ever. If you're willing to eat, people are eating sand and dirt. They're so hungry. I would say America is more hungry for God than it's ever been. And let's stop criticizing. I love America. And let's pray for them to turn back to Jesus again. That's what we got to do. But he invited him into his story. And he said, what must I do to have eternal life? I'm not going to go through the whole story, but, you know, keep the law. Well, I've done that. But then the point that it says in that scripture, it says Jesus looked at him and it said he loved him. God will never ask you to do something without first giving his generous love to you. But then he included him, but then he invited him into his own story. And he said, I see one thing you still lack. Because he saw something was more important to him than anything else. He said, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor. Remember generous love towards the outsider, generous love toward the immigrant, to the person at work, your coworker, to the poor. And come and follow me, and you'll have eternal life. And what happened? It says that he put his head down, and he walked away. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus do anything wrong witnessing? Did Jesus make it too hard? No, Jesus is perfect. But I think Jesus loved him well and still invited him. That doesn't mean they're all going to come. Some of you are going, oh, Bob, it's easy for you. You're an evangelist. That's what you do. I don't have that. No, none of you are left off the hook. They may not all follow. That's not your job. We can't change one heart. Our job is just to invite. Whether you break that down, whether you invite them to church, invite them to come, like the mission trip. Like I invited my dentist. I don't know if he's a believer. I invited him to come to Haiti with us. Invite him. Life Fest, please grab a yard. Invite somebody to Life Fest. Just invite people. Invite people in. But sometimes you got to know that you don't have to be perfect. Story real quick was one of the ways we always do it is we do it with highs and lows at our table. We just always invite people to share their highs and lows. And parents, your kids aren't always going to want to do them either. You know, like my son, Tim, when he was in high school. My low was doing highs and lows. My high is now we're done. But we still invited. Always leave that open. But it's not always inviting them into your strength. There's a young man that works for us at Life Promotions now. His name is Lucas, and he was the youth pastor at Pathways, and then they got a new senior pastor and things turned over. And Lucas is a great guy, but he works for me part-time at our office and then part-time for the Dignity Revolution under my daughter, Joyelle. And he reports right now to Joyelle. So, that's how we need him. But I had this project going on, and I was really busy. We had an inspector coming over, and all this thing was pressing, and all these things were going on. And so I called him. I said, Lucas, I need you. Can you work with me on a project this afternoon? I know it's last minute, but can you come? And he's like, sure. And it wasn't his fault. He didn't know what was going on, but he's like, sure. So he came and helped me. And, well, what I found out is Joyelle was off that day, but she had a meeting set up with Lucas, and Lucas wasn't aware of it at the time, but this meeting had Kathy Lamb coming in from New London, going to drive all the way in, and Joyelle was off, but changed her plans and got a babysitter for 2 hours to be at this meeting, and Dave Romanesco was another staff meeting that had to be at this meeting. And she calls, she goes, Dad, what are you doing? You can't just grab Lucas and have him work on something. You got to check with the, authority. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I explained to her all that was going on. And I wanted to make her see all the reasons. I mean, I wouldn't have just normally just done this. I mean, I wanted her to see what was going on. And so I said, I'm really sorry about that. And she's okay. And we hung up. And about 10 minutes later, I got a text from her. And she said, I forgive you. And some of you are going, oh, that's cool. That's not what I was thinking. Because I'm like, to say I forgive you means even though I told you what was going on, you thought I did something wrong. Like, really? Like, all of a sudden I realized I didn't want to be forgiven. I wanted to be understood. What about you? Do we want to be understood, or do we really know that we need forgiveness? I share that because 2 weeks ago I'm with this couple. And they're really, really good people. But I don't think that they know Jesus. So I invited them into my story. Not the part of, oh, I speak to this many people, or I know this many Bible verses, or I, you know what I told them? I invited them into my story of how I sinned against my daughter, and I needed forgiveness. And it was in my brokenness that they heard Jesus invited into my weakness, God was strong. And I got to hold their hands and they both received Christ. Why? Not because of our strength. God will use even our stories. Invite them into your story. You can, all of us can do that. And then where do we get to? The last example of Jesus we can practice is including them. Including them. We include them. We do what? Okay, let's try that again. I'm a really good teacher, and three people said it. Okay. So first we include, and then we? First we what? Then we? And the last one is introduce them in. Do you get that? In. Introduce them to Jesus, or introduce Jesus to their story. Because loving them is great, but love is not enough. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Jesus did his miracles. Jesus loved the outcast. Jesus loved the outsider. He did all of that. But even Jesus had to introduce them to who he really was. And in John 14:6, he said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father except by me. So once we build a relationship with them and we include them as an insider and then we invite them into our own story and our own journey to watch me, watch us, even in our brokenness, then we need to introduce Jesus into their story. But to do that, you first need to know their story. And to do that, we need to listen more than we talk. And we need to care and to understand what their story is so we can bring Jesus there. When we lived in Little Chute on Main Street, we had a neighbor, and her name was Louise. And she was about a 70-year-old widow. She had lost her husband, and she was about 70. And her, did you ever see somebody whose whole face is wrinkled and they're gorgeous? That was her whole face, just age, beauty marks. Everyone was a story. She was just beautiful. Just gray hair and all wrinkles. She's just gorgeous. And she was a great neighbor, and we weren't. We had five kids. And so they always like the bike in their yard and stuff in their yard, just all over the place. But she would always have cookies for the kids. And, you know, we invited her into our story, and we're sharing with hers. And because that trust was built, she's willing to share her story. And she said, "Bob, I've been to the doctor and found out I have cancer. And I have less than 6 months to live." And, you know, we talked while I consoled her and said, "Oh, sorry." And because of our relationship at that time, I said, "Well, are you ready? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to go and be with Jesus in heaven? You know you're going there?" "Oh, Bob, you can't know for sure you're going to heaven." I'm like, "Yeah, you can. It says in the Bible. It says in the Bible, 1 John chapter 5. It says this." He goes, "Bob, I'm a Catholic. I have a different Bible than you." I'm like, "What?" "Well, see, you know, I know the difference, you know, and I know that they have a few extra books, but I'm like, no, this verse is, Bob, I have a different Bible." I'm like, "Well, go get your Bible." Okay, so she goes to the shelf, and she gets her big Catholic Bible, and I open it up to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, and it says, "He who has the Son has life, eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Little children, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you may know you have eternal life." It says in the Catholic Bible you can know. It does, doesn't it? She said, "But Bob, I pray the Mary." And I'm like, "Oh, no." See, some of you right now, when you heard she was a Catholic and none of us even came from that background, you're like, you're ready to argue with her. You're ready to tell her all why her story is wrong. And you want to start arguing her and tell her what's all wrong with it and why your religion is better. Instead of bringing Jesus into her story. Why do we go to the desert of the church? They're all Muslims. Why don't we just tell them what's wrong with it? Or we can listen to their story and their plight. Of this refugee people that are out in the desert. And we can bring Jesus into their story. It's called contextualizing the gospel. The incarnational ministry. So I looked at her, I said, "Louise, did you know that the Hail Mary, half of it's in the Bible?" And she said, "Well, yeah, the Catholic Bible." I'm like, "No, mine." "Really?" I said, "Yeah, let me get the other Bible now." So I got the other Bible. Many of you know the prayer. Ready? "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." You know how many Catholics have been condemned because they read the Word of God? That's what it says. "Yeah, but the next part's not scripture." Okay, what does it say? "Pray for us at the hour of our death." I said, "We may disagree, but even your prayer, Mary's concerned about you dying." And you know what Mary said? "Whatever Jesus says, do it." And I said, "Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace." I said, "Do you know what grace is?" She said, "No." I said, "Whatever it is, Mary's full of it." So, I didn't try that the first service. This time I did. I told her it was unmerited, undeserved favor. And that if Mary needed grace, then so do we. And I prayed with her to receive grace in her heart. And I got to lead her to Christ. And about 3 days later, I said, "Louise, how you doing?" She said, "It's getting worse." I said, "Are you ready?" She said, "Yep. I'm going to be in heaven. I know it for sure. It's in my Catholic Bible." And when you get to love somebody and see somebody come to faith, there's nothing better than knowing him yourself and then sharing with others. Let me just share one more Foster. We got to go. One more Foster story. A great family in the church here, Dan and Aaron Vandehei, two little boys. And they took in a foster care child. Her name was Malia. And they included her as her own. And they invited her into their story. And then they introduced Jesus into her story as a foster child. Here's a picture of Malia. You talk about generous love. They loved this little girl as their own for 869 days. Look at the next picture. But today I was adopted. Like Vandehei's needed another kid. You know what that's like? There's seats open in this church. There's people that are outside that feel all alone. They need to know they can come and be in. Who do you want to know Jesus? Who do you want in the family? Then let's recap. First, know that it's not about you. It's not what we do. God is in love with you. He wants you. He's not mad at you. He's pleased. He's a good, good father. But then just three words. If you know this, then let's follow his example. And let's include people as an insider. Let's invite them into our story. Invite them to church. Invite them into your home. And then let's introduce Jesus into their story by loving them enough to say we care. Let's find this generous love and develop a generous love for the outsider so that they can know too. In Jesus' name, amen.